Before we begin with this week's episode, I just wanted to jump in and let you know about a terrible accident our friend Joel Paul suffered. He was seriously injured recently while helping a neighbor take down a tree. He was also our guest on episodes 405 and 406, and you may know him on Instagram as @13starsfarm. Joel's injuries, unfortunately, are extensive and severe, and his recovery will be long and expensive. So if you have a little bit to spare, please consider a donation to the GoFundMe set up by his daughter, Rachel. Any amount will help. There'll be a link to the GoFundMe campaign for Joel in this episode's description. Thank you very much. And now back to the show. Hi, and welcome to episode 500 of the MWA podcast. I'm Kyle, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Sean and Mark. Brian is on assignment tonight, but what's better tonight is we are celebrating a milestone of this podcast, our 500th episode. And who are we going to celebrate this with? Well, two of the founders of the podcast, Fiami Plotke and Chris Atkins. So welcome back, guys.
Good evening.
Well, fantastic. Well, we have so much to get caught up and so much to celebrate and talk about. But before we do that, let's give a thanks to our patrons. So who do we have to thank this week?
For sure. You know, we love our Patreon supporters. And today we're going to give a shout out to all of you. Thank you, all supporters on Patreon, so much for financially backing our extravagant, not so much, trips and production of this well-oiled machine of a show. Your support helps us in so many ways, and you know we can't thank you enough. And if you're not supporting us already, please go to patreon.com/MWApodcast and lend us a hand there.
Fantastic. Well, because we're celebrating, we're going to break this up and just kind of talk a little bit with the guys.
Yeah.
So
there isn't really crushing news we need to go over now.
How are we kept up to date? Has a new tool this week.
Woodpeckers has a couple of one-time tools, right? And we are recording this a little bit ahead of time, probably 2 or 3 weeks before the actual episode 500. But we wanted to make sure that we got Diami and Chris on the show. And speaking of which, so what have y'all been up to? So, Diami, what's been going on since episode, I think the last time you were on was 300 or something like that?
I think the last episode I was on, because I looked this up, was and then I made it go away. It was the last time Jeff Miller was on, which was like in the twos, two and change.
Okay.
So about half of the duration of the show. That's a pretty long time ago.
Yeah.
We did pick up consistency a little more in the latter years.
I think we picked up consistency probably in the 20 or 30 episode range.
Well, yes, but I think I credit Kyle completely that our like year round every week episode releasing for the last couple of years has been incredibly consistent.
I think you'll find it has been consistent since episode 30 or 40. What do you think, Chris? It was like that for a long time.
But I think it's
You were. I didn't mean to take anything away.
Well, originally,
I think you're hurting Diami's feelings.
It wasn't even.
I know.
The first episode wasn't a podcast. It was just recording.
No, that's true.
I checked the stats in the first episode, and it was posted and had zero listens for like the first 3 or 4 weeks.
That's right. That tracks.
Yeah.
Yep.
that tracks.
But
we'll make a new podcast.
You ask what I've been up to, and it's for anyone who listened 250 episodes ago, it's really the same stuff. I'm still out there selling commercial roofing. I'm still involved in the Boy Scouts. That has taken on a bigger role, so I do that multiple nights a week now. And
well, it's evolved because you were in the Cub Scouts, now you're
Scouts. Well, my twins are now 19.
Yes.
So all the kids grow up. So they've both aged out. But my youngest son is 15, and this is going to be a little behind the, into the weeds rather, but there's things beyond the troop that need to get done. So I chair one of the council committees. So I'm going to a troop meeting once a week. I'm going to a council meeting once a week. I'm going to a committee meeting once a week. And you put all that together, the troop meetings are once a month. Council meetings are once a month, and the other ones are once a week. So you put it all together, it ends up being about 2 meetings on average a week. And it always ends up being a third because there's something going on. But the long and short of it is we do a lot of, at least for this area, we do a lot of high adventure. We're not a troop in Texas. But we do a lot of hiking, a lot of backpacking, a lot of long trips, and it just requires a lot of planning and arranging and all that fun stuff. Right now, I just planned a 120-mile hike on Long Island that'll take us six sessions to do.
Okay, I have to ask this since you brought it up. So what are the advantages of being a troop in Texas? Just all the...
Texas is where the Boy Scouts are based.
The camps and stuff.
And there's a culture to Boy Scouting in Texas that is specific to Texas.
Okay.
I don't know if it's superior. I'm gonna defend.
I don't know if it's superior. I was just curious because I know within probably 2 hours drive of me, there's at least two, if not three, big Boy Scout camps. And in fact, there's one 20 minutes away from me that's in Galveston on the, I think it's called the Seaborn Camp, but it's all about water stuff and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
I was in Scouts. My older brother was in Scouts as well, and the troop that we were involved with did high adventure pretty much once a year, if that. I think
you picked and chose.
You just were like, oh well, one up north in Canada or down in Florida or Philmont, or and those are on relative rotations for as long as we were involved. But sounds like you're way more involved than me.
Well, for big the places you just named are all the national high adventure bases. So you have Northern Tier, which I saw you when we were driving to and from Northern Tier years ago. Mm-hmm. We stopped in Toledo. Mm-hmm. You've got Philmont, you've got Sea Base, and Summit Bechtel is the newest one. It's in West Virginia.
Okay.
So as a troop, we've been to Northern Tier, we've been to Summit. In August, we're going to Sea Base, and in July of 25, we'll be at Philmont.
Okay.
But outside of that, we were at National Jamboree for 2 weeks last year. Summer before, we spent 60 miles on the Atchafalaya Swamp in Louisiana. And we do, for where we are, it is somewhat rare that a troop will go off island. Often most of the troops on Long Island stay on Long Island, and we spend about half of our outings off island. So we're doing a lot more in the woods on the hills than most local troops do.
Interesting. Well, that's cool. Well, so Chris, what have you been up to? Now, I know it was probably episode 300 last time we talked to you, I believe.
It yeah, it was. Still building, still developing. We built a pretty good sized portfolio of senior housing deals, and kind of right after kind of the COVID pandemic thing, we sold those off, and I didn't do anything for about a year and a half. So. Finally, I did. I built the house. So we sold the last house we had built and moved into, and sort of an offer we couldn't refuse, and took it. And
That's what I heard. It's like you built that one, got moved in, and then oops, we're out of here. We're
building another one. I lived in it 4 years, honestly.
Oh, wow.
It was, I don't know if it was a good idea or not. So we built another, and I made some changes to it, and of course we love it and stuff, but man, it was a challenge because we sold it, and basically the offer we got, we had to be out in 3 weeks.
Ooh.
Were you planning on building before you sold?
No.
So let me ask you this. Does your wife ever want to go through building a house again?
No. A matter of fact, I said next time I do this, I'm just going to build the house and not say anything, and then we'll jump into it.
Where'd all the stuff go? It's in the new house.
Because we had 5.5 trucks, moving trucks full of stuff, and of those, about a truck and a half went to a rental house because I just at the time I wasn't buying anything that just didn't make sense, so I just moved into a rental. And so we had 5 of us in a rental house that was, a quarter of the size of our last house. And so it was quite the experience. We couldn't find anything for about a year while we were building. And, it was fun, but we got done. We got moved in, and
that's kind of the general contractor thing to do. Not that it's what you have to do, but I just know the guy, when we moved in, the 4 lots next to us had just been converted from farm field. And so this guy built a house, moved into said house. While he was living there, he built the house next to him. He sold the house. He moved into the most recent house he built, literally next door.
Right.
And it wasn't a year before he moved out again because that house sold. I mean, it's part of the business in a way. In your case, it's a little not that delicate.
No, for me, it's typically not because, I do more commercial stuff. But you know, it was sort of that opportunity, and there were things I wanted to change, and you know, it was probably worth it in the end, but it was quite a challenge to get through. But you know, we got through it and moved into the new house and love it, and now getting back into building again. So got a few projects around, got some stuff going in Savannah and some stuff in Atlanta, and so starting to get back into things again.
So what have you done car wise? You still got that, wasn't it a Chevelle you had?
I do. I still got the Chevelle. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I spent probably about almost a year just redoing that car and just, you know, completely rebuilt the motor on it, rebuilt everything. And I don't think I could sell that car now. I'd never get my money back out of it.
Oh, yeah. You never get your money back out of those.
There's no way I would get my money. So there's no point in selling it. So I might as well just keep the car. But it's fun. Well,
yeah, it's a fabulous, fabulous looking car. Well, for our listeners, and I think we have a bunch of new listeners, why don't we do a little brief history on how this thing all got started for folks that don't want to go back into the archives, although we do have some listeners that have gone back in the archives.
Why would anyone not want to go through the archives? And listen,
right?
I mean, sound quality's only gotten worse as time went on.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to argue with you there, but so tell us, Diami, Chris, either one of y'all jump in. How did MWA podcast get started?
So, all right. So I'll start for a second on it. Let Tommy jump in. Right. It literally started Tommy Mack's group. I don't remember which one it was, reached out to me and said, "Hey, want to send you some books?" A couple of us kind of got the books and I don't know. We all got the books and we were like, it was Tommy Mack's new book. Do you remember what it was? Which book was that?
It was his first one.
Yeah.
But you kind of skipped.
What did I skip?
Why would they have sent us the book in the first place?
Well, we were all, I'm using air quotes if anybody's listening and not watching. we were all bloggers and so we were big important bloggers and
you were at the time having regular monthly meetings, weren't you? Weren't you guys having those monthly breakfasts?
I had started having like a woodworking group meeting. It was not Modern Woodworkers at the time. It was just, you know, hey, here's some woodworkers, let's get together. And so it sort of started with that. And then we were kind of doing blogging and somehow we ended up on this list to get these books. And we sort of talked about it and said, what do we do with this? And we decided to do a review, to record a review. And so that was literally the first episode. It was never an intent to start a podcast 500 episodes later.
Wow. So what'd y'all think of that book? Do you remember?
I still have the stool from it in the house. We just moved it from one kid's room to another.
Oh, there you go.
I don't think you know what to do. We just literally, and who, I'm trying to remember who all even was on that. I should have went back and looked to see, because it was more than Diami, Tom, and myself. On
there's
that.
Nick.
Yeah, Nick.
And
wasn't it like Mark Langerfelden or like?
Yes. Well, according to the podcast stats, it's only you.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was putting the dad in at the time, so.
Yeah.
No, but the core of this was you were living in Atlanta at the time, were you not?
Yes,
Chris?
Still am.
Yeah, so like I remember there were at some point, I think it was after maybe the MWA got started, but the meetings at Highland Woodworking, you know, and like you had kind of a nice healthy thing going on there. Yeah, like however often the breakfasts were, there was a community building, and then I know Twitter was involved because that's how I met Diami.
Yeah, it was all over Twitter originally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were doing
in the early days.
We were doing one meeting a month, and that went on for years. And I think from there started a few other groups of people started getting together across the country and just sort of expanded a little bit. And I tell you what's funny is the Atlanta group actually still gets together at times.
Do they?
There's a text chain that still goes out to a core group of, I don't know, probably a dozen. And, you know, some of the guys, Aaron and...
Is Aaron back in Atlanta? Yes.
Yeah, he came back.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. That's great.
And, yeah. So there's still a core group of guys that still get together you know, I haven't joined in a couple of years, but they kind of skip around but yeah, it's actually still going a little bit.
That's phenomenal.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that is great. Yeah, Austin has a group that gets together similar to that. It's more of a happy hour type thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And I've never been, but I'm on the list, and I see the notices go out and stuff like that. One of these days, I'm going to make one of their meetings. But it looks pretty cool. Pretty cool.
What's the commute to Austin, Kyle?
On a good day, 3.5-4 hours.
Okay.
On a bad day, six.
Average morning commute.
Yeah, it's Texas. That's
took
close.
Me 3 hours to get to Brooklyn close. This morning.
That's a New York commute too. So you just cover more miles in Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of these days, but that's fantastic. So Diami, you were on that first podcast or the first
yes.
book reviews?
Yes, I was. I was in my kitchen.
And was Tom on there too?
He was.
Tom okay. was there.
Who's
Nick
Tom?
Rulo?
You can't use just Tom. First.
Oh,
Tom.
How many Toms are there?
Maybe more than one.
Yeah. But one with a Tom with a monkey? There's only one.
There's only one.
There is only one Mr. Iovino, and I think that I shall continue to call him Tom.
Tom's working.
if his ears aren't burning right now, they better should be. Yeah.
But
Tom was on episode 300, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
So
yes.
He was listening episode. Back.
Yes. So basically how far from that first podcast was the kind of the core group of you and Tom and Chris?
It fell to the four of us, me and Chris and Tom and Nick, and then there was a little bit of disagreement in the way directions would go. And then it became the three of us. and then somebody started doing too much building. And then it was Tom and I.
Who was that?
I'm not sure. I forgot him. It's been a while. I think he lingers in airports now. and then when Tom stepped off, Greg Sean into it, because Sean had always yep. been lingering in the shadows mm-hmm. from almost day one. And
Sean was the intern that
yeah.
got called.
Yeah. I was getting coffee for the guys.
I was going to say, Kyle, Sean, and Mark were all on while we were on. Like, so all yep. they all yeah. were on as guests at one
yeah.
point. We were
yes.
on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I too had a blog back in the day. You yep. know, way
back when you did woodworking, like me.
Back when I did woodwork. Indeed. Indeed.
It was a thing.
I think I was just on the Rolodex. Well, this guest dropped out. We can't get somebody for this weekend. Let's get Kyle a call. See what?
No, no. When we were closing down the bar at the Beale Street Bar in Covington, Kentucky, that's the Kyle I met.
And what it came down to, Kyle, was that the crux of it was always to try to recreate that in person meetings we had and the interactions we would have years ago with WIA and then at Fine Woodworking Live and wherever we go. And you were always part of that. I can remember the very first WIA I went to. Was it 12? I don't know what year it was. It was many years ago.
Yeah, my first one.
That's
was
when two, we.
No, it's probably 2009. That's the first
nine,
one I went.
10?
Yeah.
Well, I believe yeah. the first one you went to was the first one I went to because we met
okay.
there.
Yeah.
And then they had that bar hop that they didn't do, and we were just going around to the bars ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that was 2009. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Long time ago.
It yeah, seems like yesterday.
Yeah. Man, O'Malley.
Yeah, I remember that. Those are some good times. And then, yeah, I think that's where I kind of met everybody. And then, you know, they kept having the WIAs. I remember the one that they had in Pasadena. I think I spent more time in the little booth. I think Chris and you and a couple other guys are running the Olympics at that thing. So
I spent
a lot of time at that booth. And
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
We had no clue. They asked us to do that. We had no clue what to do. It was just totally made up, spur of the moment, figure it out as we went. And everybody had a lot of fun. Nobody complained about it. And it was great.
So we're talking about the Woodworking Olympics at Woodworking in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. For the people who have no idea what that was.
Yes.
Give us a little description.
Yes. Thank you for keeping us on point there, Mark. Yes.
Yeah, because I don't remember any of this. I wasn't around. So you're educating me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't make it to Pasadena. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So at two, or at least on the first three or four woodworking in America. They had what was called the Hand Tool Olympics. So you would
Mike Simonson ran it.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would get together. You would go to a booth, and basically you would cut dovetails, bore a hole with a auger and a brace. And what else was there? Is planing, edge planing, I believe.
There was.
And sawing, of course, cross cut.
You get
graded on the
quality
of
your work.
Yes.
And speed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who, one of those events, it involved Matt Gradwall. And I don't remember if he was sawing or he was the one who got hit, but they were doing the
rip. He was sawing, yes.
And the piece went flying off and whacked somebody.
Yeah. 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 He got kicked back
from a handsaw.
From a handsaw. Yeah.
I want to say it was Megan Fitzpatrick reached out and asked us to run that booth. Mm. And Mike Siemens reached out to me afterwards and he couldn't do it. He said, I can't do this. You know, I don't have time, blah, blah, blah. And so he reached out and was dead serious about this whole thing. He was like,
oh yeah,
this has to be ran this way. And I'm going, yeah, we'll do it that way. You know, we it turned out great. I thought it went real well.
Mike. We'll do it all.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, it went real well. Of course, they gave us two dovetail saws, and one of them, I believe, really is out of tune. Yeah,
it was used in the Olympics, probably.
Yeah. Nothing in that Olympics was in tune.
No, abuse.
Came
abuse
over and actually blend. Took the saws and sharpened them. It was like an axe or somebody like that. Yeah. Somebody actually.
I can see Mark Harrell doing that and retentioning the blades. So they're nice.
Like totally redid the blades and all that, and so they did work a lot better.
Yeah. Mark knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, well, those were some great times, and I remember them fondly. Too bad. Hopefully, they'll bring something back. I don't know if y'all had heard this, but I think Fine Woodworking, since they merged.
Sold out, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're supposed to be coming up with some sort of event here in the next year or so with kind of combining pop wood and fine woodworking into some live event. Supposedly this year, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We shall see. Hopefully they have a better scheduling than the guys in Austin because they're lovely, but please don't do it so close to the end of the summer.
I think the one in Austin moved
to November.
November is fine.
Yeah. But so you got what you wanted.
I give you guys a lot of credit for hitting both that and Handworks, but Handworks was, you'll have to forgive me as a contractor. I can't Labor Day, Memorial Day, whichever one it is, Labor Day, right? It was Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day. Yep, mm-hmm. Labor Day.
How does everybody's family go to a Handworks show on Labor Day weekend? Like, I don't get it.
I can tell you from the packed barn that we were in the back of when Roy spoke.
Clearly, I'm in the
minority. A lot of people.
But
let me put it to you this way. It was great going there because I was one of the youngest guys there.
and if Kyle's saying that, I was the youngest guy there.
All right. So it wasn't that bad.
There were a lot of young folks there. But yeah, it was definitely a skewed a little bit older. But you would expect that on a Memorial Day weekend.
I think it's more about the first Fine Woodworking Live
was Diami. Who all was that, Diami? It was you, I, Tom.
Fine Woodworking Live? I don't think Tom ever came to Fine Woodworking Live, did he?
Did he not? Okay, it was
I don't think so. Oh, it was, the underwear model.
Excuse me?
Okay, so we get invited to the first Fine Woodworking Live.
Yes, Rob Bowis was there.
Yes,
Rob.
and so we had a great time. It was really good. And then we got to this, like, they were doing all the speeches and stuff. And they had Nick Offerman come out. And so it's all like, we're by far like a third the
30 years younger than the average person there.
And so it's us in the back, and then the Fine Woodworking guys sitting at a table beside of us. And then we're looking up in the front at Asa Christiana, who was the editor at Fine Woodworking at the time, sitting in the front. And it was hilarious. I mean, some of the jokes were very colorful, and they were very...
It's a little blue.
off-putting to some of the attendees.
A little bit.
I think there were a few people walked out of it.
Yeah, no, yes. Definitely. A few people absolutely walked out.
Yeah. When he sang a song about Jesus take the wheel, and like, you know, like, It got rough, but it was absolutely hilarious.
I'm sorry, I missed it because it sounds like it would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and it's funny because those first couple of Fun Woodworking Lives were so poorly set up. Like that first one, they were figuring out what to do. It was the most awkward show I've ever been to. It was delightful, but
they didn't hire an events company to put it on.
No, they had a staff member in Taunton who took on the job of doing it, and that's all they did for the year was run the event. And I give them a lot of credit, and they only got better as time went on. The last two or three that were at that conference, where everything was in one building, they were really running like a fine-tuned machine. Mm-hmm. But it took them a couple of years of missteps to get to that point.
Yeah, and it is when on those learning type process of events. Yeah, yeah, because my group, when I was working for UT, we used to put on an event once a year for all the UT institutions to come to, and we're only talking about 200 folks coming or so, 200 to 300 folks. And yeah, from the first year we put that on, you know, it takes you a good 2 or 3 years to, you know, dial everything in, know what to ask the hotels for. That's the biggest thing, is know what they can provide and what they can't provide and what you're going to have to bring and whatnot and stuff like that. But it takes a while to get those things dialed in and done.
Diami, did you keep the chair that we built?
It's in my attic. Yep, I have it.
Is it? Yeah, I was just about to say.
Furnished attic or it's insulation?
It's in the attic, not that far from my drum set.
And that thing's going to be an antique, but where you get it set up?
It's got to be 15 years old.
Oh yeah,
you know.
So basically, there was a challenge that you had a group of people, and you were competing against. You had to build a chair out of so many 2x4s, and it was quite entertaining.
Well, now when you have your Christmas vacation moment and you get stuck in the attic while your family leaves to go shopping, you'll have something to sit on and watch old.
Yes, I will.
You can listen to old MWA podcast.
Exactly.
There you go.
I'll sit up there, find some of my wife's clothes and cry. Yeah.
As long as the Wi-Fi works, you'll be fine.
Yeah, and if my drum sander ever breaks, I'm going to call you, Diami, and see if you can ship me some parts or something.
I'm going to make you come here and assemble it for me.
Maybe you can do woodworking instead of listening. You could do the woodworking while you listen to old issues of the podcast.
Oh, man. How meta.
Yeah. Well, so, Mark, what was the first WIA that you went to? Because you were, first time I met you, you were in a booth and, you know,
it was doing
the plate 11. 2013.
I think it was 2013. It was the year that I started the company.
Okay.
A bench company. Yep. And so Chris Schwarz was like, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to sign up for woodworking in America and put some benches in a booth. And so was it you and Sean, Kyle, that I had lunch with that?
No, year? I was there. That was that first
was
day.
It was Sean and Diami.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we were setting up and the show hadn't started yet. It was that Friday. It was Friday
we helped of the move, opening, right? Is that the year we helped move benches in for you?
Yeah,
probably did. You guys were very helpful. Very helpful. Yeah. And we went and had lunch and I guess it was before the show because I would not have had time to leave.
Yeah, it was the day before. Day. Yeah.
Because I can always remember we'd get there and just walk in and see who was there and act like we own the place. And
yeah,
I belong here. We did. Didn't we just walk impressed in like the service door in the back and we're like,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
act like you're meant to be here. And we just walk up and we're like, hey, you in the distance, like somebody come up to us and like, hey, Mark. Yeah, we're right there and just like walk right past him trying to stop us.
Along those lines of just walking in, let me just share this little anecdote about Tom. So the last time I saw Tom in person, I went down to Tampa. And this is many years ago now. But so it was the weekend of the woodworking shows in Tampa. So Tom and I'm staying at his place. We get up, we go to Home Depot, we buy some lumber, we take some of his tools. And we go to the convention where the woodworking shows are. We drive around back. We take the lumber out. We just walk in the back doors and find a little spot and get set up there. And then we went around to all the different vendors who we knew and borrowed tools and saws and things. And by the end of it, we built a bench. That's, I presume he still has that bench. But we built him a workbench in the back of the shows. And we basically just let ourselves in.
Yep.
Nice.
That was awesome. I totally remember that.
That was great.
That's really how
I was going to cut something off on the table saw. He did not like my technique at all.
But that's really how we got into, you know, with the, you know, Pop Wood was just kind of being there, right? And then that kind of flowered after that. Mm-hmm. We were the vocal voices, Tom especially. You know, like, you couldn't help but know that that guy was around.
Well, we interviewed some of the guys, and there really wasn't a lot of podcasts then.
Not at all.
No.
Long ago. And so we interviewed some of the editors and stuff, and honestly, they just sort of let us do whatever. They would, they would let us show up to the events, and you know, all of those, we just show up and say, you know, hey, we're, you know, Modern Woodworkers, and just walk in. And
we had fleeces with our names on them. I mean, that was pretty official.
What, you got a fleece?
Yeah,
it has a QR code on the back shoulder.
Yes, it does.
I have mine.
I still have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark.
We need to get. I don't have a fleece either.
Yeah, it was a little before you guys.
Kyle, if anybody deserves a fleece, it's Kyle. He needs a fleece.
Kyle deserves. What is it?
I would trade
Gold LeMay jacket.
But I would trade jacket or a fleece for the Laguna sponsorship.
Oh, well, yeah, where's that?
That was a bright spot.
Laguna sponsorship.
Uh-huh.
We had a
let me pan to the one I don't have
sponsorship too.
The which?
Remember the Gorilla Glue sponsorship?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. it was nice only a Gorilla Grip sponsorship, but the Gorilla Grip sponsorship paid for the Laguna tools that Tom and I both bought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who was the guy, the Gorilla Glue guy?
Andy,
yeah.
Yeah.
Brown?
Yeah, Andy Brunel. Brown.
Andy Brunel.
Brunel. Yes, 100%. That I mean, he was cool to talk to, but yeah, he was like the Kentucky guy, I think, and mm-hmm. he was like mm-hmm. he was his own kind of thing, but he got in with Gorilla and
he was in marketing, he was wasn't
marketing
he?
Guy.
He was in marketing. Yeah, that's right.
Probably still is. I mean, he's not dead, I think. But.
And after the boost we gave them, look at what Gorilla's got onto.
I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously. They've
knocked it out of the park. Thanks.
I'm pretty sure they look back on that one and go, that was a mistake.
Hey, but speaking of woodpeckers, look where they are now. Man, O'Malley.
It's the only reason they release new tools so that we can talk about them.
Can you see the red back there?
Yeah, yeah. I see some red anodized aluminum over there.
Red back there.
Anyway, well, let's go over what our most memorable episodes or moments on the podcast were. I know I have a few, but we'll go around the horn. So start with Diami. Start with the old school host. So Diami, take us away.
Okay. Well, I have two that I put in the show notes.
Okay.
I love Jeff Miller. And the recordings we got to do with him were just fantastic. There were so many recordings that were just a blast to do. And I would leave my garage at 11:30 at night just on a high from the conversation. It was always a good time. Mm-hmm. But to pick a guest, I would pick Jeff Miller because he's just a wonderful guy and a phenomenal woodworker. And then this evening, as I was going through trying to think of other memorable moments, the one that occurred to me is at the last Fine Woodworking Live, I had my recorder and everything, and I was cranking out interviews, and we were stealing empty rooms and doing recordings, and we recorded a full episode that was unairable. Not because the audio quality was bad, but because...
I remember that episode.
Yes, it was quite blue, and it got a little nasty and a little vulgar. And we kind of put that one aside and then went right in and recorded another episode after that. Yes. So I could not tell you.
And our guests that were on that episode begged us not to publish that episode.
Yes. Yes. I know a couple of woodworkers who probably should not be on podcasts after they've been drinking. But that was an interesting night. There was also the very first podcast we tried to record at the first Fine Woodworking Live, and it was 40 minutes of absolute noise on a microphone, and you couldn't understand a single word of it back when we didn't know what we were doing in terms of recording. So it's the in-person ones that failed, I think, are the ones that stick in my head the most.
But you know, you built that little rig that you had with you, you know, high dollar microphone stands.
We got to the point that the very first one, we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
The more recent one, it was just because the stuff that was said was not appropriate to put on the show.
not good to air. Can we get a copy of that? Is that, I mean, that if we promise not to put it on the air, cause I would love to hear that. I can't listen to my own voice, but I would love to.
At our $1,000 Patreon level.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
No, if it was just going to embarrass the people that were on the recording, I would have no qualms about it at all. but some things were said about people who weren't there that should not have been said about people who weren't there. And that struck me as inappropriate. That's why it never made the air.
Too much alcohol.
Yeah. But my dad was in the room for that one. So, hey.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So we're David Duyard was in there too.
Mm-hmm.
For that one.
Don't get David in trouble.
And who else?
Turning Sawdust into Groceries. And I'm looking at Mike's last name.
Yeah. We're talking about that time.
Yes,
yeah.
He was there. He was there. Because I brought him.
Physically.
There was might have only been one, but I want to say 2 years in a row, I picked him up at Kennedy and drove him up there and then on the way home, dropped him off at Kennedy.
Yeah.
There you go. So I'm not the only one picking people up from airports.
No, far from it. No.
Good to know.
Well, good. So, Chris, what about yourself? What are some of your favorite? Oh, there it is.
I'm still in the kitchen.
For for our listeners, Chris is holding up the 2014 bench calendar. So basically, a bunch of us woodworkers got on top of benches and did kind of like a fireman's calendar for woodworkers.
And the front cover of it is Megan Fitzpatrick's really red hair at the time.
Yes.
All you can see is her hair on the bench. It is actually hilarious. My wife found it the other day and was like, she put it in her office. So I just text her and said, you've got to bring me the calendar.
Well, every 7 years, the dates are going to line up.
Yeah, like 7, 8 years, you can reuse it. Just don't write anything in it.
It's blurring it, Sean.
I know. It's me, though.
Yeah.
We look really young. Carefully covering Lee Nielsen's emblem on his bench.
Well, Sean, you probably look exactly the same. So,
officially, I was a full 10 years younger.
Yeah.
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 I've been hanging up in the kitchen since 2014, and we'll have people over the house. They're like, what is that?
So, were you at that?
Mark was there, but he wasn't.
So
he wasn't,
we were probably on one of Mark's benches is probably in there somewhere.
Maybe a couple.
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know. Was that Winston-Salem? Is that?
No, that's Cincinnati.
That was Cincinnati.
Okay. Cincinnati. Yeah, that probably had some actual decent looking benches by then.
I just remember 2014 calendar, so it was probably WIA 2013.
Yeah, I remember kind of rushing around the late Saturday or Sunday. I forget what day it was, but like it was when everyone was trying to clean up and everything.
We're like, oh, we
gotta hold on. We're gonna get on that bench real quick.
A picture of Eiler on the bench. I think we do.
Eiler was on the bench. Yeah.
Yeah, he's on one of them.
Yeah.
You know, we could reprint this calendar with, you know, a new set of dates.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, since the first calendar, you know, just sold out so quickly.
It was a hit.
It didn't help that I didn't get it published till like late February.
Yeah, so it was a few extra months that you had already passed and tens of those actually went out. Tens.
Yes.
Tens.
Yes. Tens to everyone that actually participated.
Well, there's like four times as many calendars as there are fleeces.
I think the Patreon subscribers would love to have a nice calendar.
A 2014 calendar. So
yeah, well, 20. Oh, you still have them from 2014?
I mean, that's
the only
that's
one we have.
Attic.
We need to figure out what year that calendar is good for. And have a sticker printed up and just put it right over the 14, the new year, and off we go, man. Like, no problem.
Let's think. My birthday's on a Sunday this year, so maybe.
Every 7 years, we give away, you know, 20 or 30 or 40.
Oh, but isn't it a leap year this year?
It is a leap year this year.
It is.
Every 8 years, you give away.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So any other fantastic moments, Chris?
You asked me what. You know, there's two stands out, and surprisingly, it was probably the most people we had on a podcast and the least people we had on a podcast. The first one I would say is once it was just by myself, and it was Tom Fittich, and I had the best time. Like, it was just like, you know, a great talk. We really enjoyed it. You know, Tom Fittich is, I don't know if, you know, people know him. He's
Unplugged woodworker.
And yep. You know, the guy was in Canadian rock band, and so he played guitar during the thing. And, you know, it was great, great talk. Probably one of my favorite talks that we did, and just sort of a little off to what we normally did. And then I would say the second one would be at Woodwork in America when we recorded in the like lobby out there, and it was, I don't remember, it was Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Sean was there. Tom, Diami.
Yep, the four of us. And I know we had Megan, we had Matt Carmona.
Was that the one when that other wannabe podcast kind of came up?
No, that's another one. This one was out in the lobby.
This is the one that they did come out to it. So yeah, Mark, Matt.
Did they? That yes, we, well, then it happened twice, because the one time was inside the showroom on the back wall, or the front wall as you kind of walked in.
Yeah, that's where
we were in that round table. There was one time out on the carpet and one time inside.
Was inside, out on the back, and it was Mark, Matt, and Shannon shows up to it.
Yep.
And, you know, it was totally unscripted. We just completely talked, you know, they interrupted us. We actually, I think we interrupted their podcast a little bit later
in the hotel. Yeah.
And, you know, it was just fun. You know, it probably was one of the worst ones to listen to, mm-hmm. but probably one of the most fun ones to actually record.
It made better only by the wooden dowel microphone stand we're using. That's right. Round table.
He still has them.
Oh, yeah. They work great.
I think a lot of that recording, Chris, I think that speaks to what it was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was really, it was a tight community. And when we were at Woodworking America, it wasn't just that we got to see each other, but everyone knew each other. And it was an inside joke. And that was the listeners and us and the other podcasts. And it was just everybody we knew hanging out. It was great.
Sure. Was that the year that the one hotel had a fire?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember the next morning, because we were not in that hotel. I stayed with Matt Vanderlist that year.
Yeah.
And we walked down in the lobby, and in walks Shannon. He's all groggy-eyed. I'm like, what happened? They're like, we were out in the lobby or outside of the building.
We were outside of the building.
3:45 in the morning or whatever. Yeah. It was like, oh, boy.
That's what you get for not staying at Embassy Suites.
That's it.
No free breakfast.
That was the Marriott versus Embassy right there. One has a
happy hour beers. Yeah. And you get a fire alarm in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a rude awakening.
I bet. Yeah. I slept soundly. I just saw you in the morning.
I think, who was rooming? I think, Diami, weren't we?
We were together, and there was a third person in the room.
Somebody else was in the room. We almost didn't go down. We were like,
who
was the third person? I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I just remember one WIA. I was just hungover as hell. And it's probably about noonish, and Rob Boas comes walking in. He goes, oh, I just got up about 30 minutes ago. I feel fine.
Mm-hmm. I ran into him on one of the WIAs in Cincinnati, one of the first ones. I remember running into him in a stairwell on Sunday morning, and I was up and still drunk.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because those are the years we're shutting down the Beale Street, which is right there at the hotel.
Every time we went to Cincinnati, the bars closed earlier and earlier.
It did seem that way. It really did. Yeah. But then I remember that.
The worst was Kansas City. Remember that, Diami? Where everything closed at like midnight?
I can remember us out on the street looking for a place, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was just dead.
Nothing. Yeah. That was that Winston-Salem was the time that I got to have barbecue with Wilbur, you know, and the East Coast crew, and we went down we literally walked down to some barbecue stop and
they went out for barbecue like every single night,
every time, absolutely,
because I went on a couple of them, and then they invited me for the third one. I went, no, I've had too much barbecue.
Wilbur loves his barbecue. I'm all out.
Yeah, I'm all out. Speaking of which, Wilbur is coming down here in the fall, and we are planning a barbecue trip. So,
oh, that's awesome. Wilbur's good people.
Yeah,
he is.
So Mark, what are let's go in order here. So, Sean, so what are some of your favorite moments?
So Chris took mine, because I was going to say the table crash episode, because that was that was phenomenal. And I've been scouring. I'm looking for pictures. I know I have pictures of it somewhere. Because just, you know, us around that table, obviously in a very public space, and in walks the Wood Talk guys, and just kind of throw it. And then, yes, we went to their hotel room and do that. But the other one I mentioned earlier was out in the lobby of another, I forget what year it was, but we were out in the lobby of the conference center.
When we got, what's his name?
Matt.
No.
I know we got Matt. Roy. I know we had Megan.
We interviewed Roy in the lobby of the Embassy Suites.
Yeah, we did. And so, like, those kind of, and it's partly because of you know, like the communal part of the event, like you guys already mentioned, like we weren't there. Man. It was just like we all knew each other and it was fun to talk to each other. And it's funny looking back now with like Cremona, who is obviously he's doing wood talk and he's got he like successful wood business. At the time, he was like a 22-year-old kid, you know, like, and it was like, hi, I'm Matt. How are you? Oh, yeah. And also, oh, I have to say that, and it wasn't even a show, but our meetup at the Christian Moreland Brewery in Cincinnati.
The meetups were
awesome.
The meetups were always the best part of the weekend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was the basis of this whole thing from the get-go was the social aspect mm-hmm. of the community. It's great to be online. It's great to be in your own shop. But when we can get together, what fun can we? And those things, I enjoy the hell out of all of those events. I mean, obviously, I've been on the show for years, but like those meeting people and even Handworks this past year, it was so cool. And a lot of the people that we talked to ended up being on the interview episode that Brian recorded. You know,
he did a great job with that.
He did. And but yeah. We're sitting in Mark's booth and people are just walking up here and there and they hear a voice and they go, hey, are you? Yeah. Oh, it's so great to meet you. Hey, how are you? You know, those kind of interactions of people that listen is so cool.
There's nothing that strokes your ego like that. When we were at Weekend with Wood, I was walking down the street in Des Moines mm-hmm. and someone recognized my voice and it was, it's mind blowing. Like,
and I got, when we were there, it was in the hallways of Meredith Publishing and we were walking away from a class and somebody went from behind me, Sean.
Yes.
And I turned around and went, what? And he goes, I totally recognize your voice. Hi. I apologize. I don't remember his name, but like being recognized for your voice in a forum like that.
That's strange. I've had it. I had it.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's a weird
thing. I had it at the airport in the bar with my son for some reason. It's the weirdest thing.
What? No, Diami, I thought of you the other day cause I heard of another guy and he has to be from Long Island. And you know, he's another guy in another podcast and it's just Mike, whatever, you know, but he's got the little accent that you have. And I'm like,
oh, excuse me.
It's the little large accent. But it's like, all of those little things, it immediately clicked with me. I'm like, I know where he's from. Cause the, like it's there's a voice for sure.
Speaking of accents, which one was it? Was it Fine Woodworking or no, it was Pop Woodworking. I think when we did one of the, remember they did the meet the online next. Woodworkers or
something. Yeah.
And so they lined us up in this big long line and they told each person to tell what they do in like an online woodworking world. And as we're all standing there, everybody starts talking and Tom just starts going like behind one person and down and then behind a person until he gets to the very
end.
And then just blew up when they announced Tom. Like he just goes into like this long speech and he's like, I want all the floor once everybody else.
Yep. Theme's about right.
That's good stuff.
Well, so Mark, what about yourself? What are your
stuff? I mean, I'm new, right? Haven't been around that long and I've really enjoyed the opportunity to meet other woodworkers, you know, just, you know, I'm not here every week because I'm got crazy stuff going on. But when I do come in for a show, I always meet somebody interesting and I get to hear their story. And that's been really valuable to me because it gets me kind of out of this lone woodworker mode. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe the listeners might identify with that as well. I mean, it's nice to kind of bring somebody into your shop once a week. Get to know them and maybe realize that we're all kind of struggling through the same crap, you know, in our woodworking. But the one like individual event that stands out to me is not an actual podcast. It was Handworks. Mm-hmm. Having you all in my booth after doing shows alone for years was such a tremendous boost. Like it was so much more fun. And it also, you know, so part of it was having the people there to spend time with and share the experience with, but it was also the fact that people came to the booth and they had, you know, they were interested in more than just what I was selling. It was the podcast. It was like people who knew us more knew you guys than me, I think, cause I'm newer at this, but they wanted to connect with somebody that they felt like they had sort of, they had been on the receiving end of the connection and they wanted to make the other end of that connection. It was really cool to see that happen over and over and over again in that booth. So yeah, I think it's the, just overall the connection with other woodworkers. That's my favorite part of this podcast. So
well said.
Yes. Yes. Well said. And, between Mark, between you and, Sean, I think you stole my most memorable moments because mine are the listeners, of course, and getting mm-hmm. to meet y'all at these events and, everything that y'all do for us. It really, you know, it really, I don't know. And it really, I guess, charges me up, so to speak, as far as yeah. being in this hobby. It's kind of a, like you said, a solitary hobby, and to get some of that feedback. And that's one of the reasons I like doing the podcast. The other thing is you guys, the, you know, co-hosts, you know, Mark, Sean, Brian, and of course, Chris and Diami on all of our anniversary episodes. but no, it really, you know, that's one of the things I like, because again, it is kind of a solitary hobby, and it's great to, you know, every couple of weeks to get together to record an episode. And then all of the great folks, I mean, there's, you know, I don't want to, you know, mention any of our guests by name, because there are just so many that have inspired me and things of that nature. And if I started listing, I would forget somebody, you know, one of those kind of things. But yeah, meeting our guests is so, I think one of the great things about our podcast in particular is that we have some of the most luminary people in woodworking on our podcast. And then we have a hobbyist in a shop on our podcast. And I think that's one of the things that really stands out about us, is that we have these, you know, interviews with these great guys, these guys that have been at it, these guys that teach
famous,
yeah. You know, quote unquote, woodworking famous people.
You have Wilbur Pan on, for goodness sake.
Exactly.
Yeah, how many times?
But, you know, and then we have a hobbyist on there that's doing some fantastic work, and we try to get them a little recognition and find out what they're all about. And, you know, if you listen to those episodes, you come to find out that we are the same. Whether we're a hobbyist or a professional, we enjoy the hobby, we enjoy woodworking, we enjoy creating. And I think that's the most fabulous part about being a part of this podcast.
For sure.
So with that said, I have a couple of other questions.
I think we need to put those before that segment, because like that was really touching. Like I had a very special episode moment. just now, and I feel like, you know, like these updates on woodworking projects, maybe they should come sooner. I don't know. It's up to you, Kyle.
Yeah, well, we can always do it, but you know, hey, I just want to say something from my heart just a little bit.
I know, it's very touching.
I know, but anyway, you know, we got bigger things to talk about, which is Diami's Entertainment Center project. Yeah. So where is that?
It's done. It's not in any way done the way I intended. There's still parts of it sitting in my shop, but it's installed. And as you guys can see in the show notes, there's crap all over it. It's in use. It's done.
Yes,
it is exactly as I envisioned it. Not the clutter on the shelves, but the long purple shelves.
Yeah. So yes. let me take listeners back for a minute, because I'm sure everyone's forgotten. It's a 12-foot long cabinet is what it was supposed to be. There were originally four horizontal shelves. Three are 16 inches deep. One is 14 inches deep because there's a pick out at the bottom of the wall that it was to accommodate. And each of the shelves are purple dyed quarter sawn timber strand.
Very important. Quarter sawn.
It really is, because they had to rip all the
timber
glued all back together to get that quarter sawn effect.
Diami, what year did you dye that purple?
I don't know. I was probably 12.
I don't think I would call that purple.
I remember
it's purple.
It's light. Purple. Oh, it's
yeah. 10 years it's purple. Ago.
It's purple. We're talking fuchsia. 2015, 2016.
Hold on a second.
I still really remember dying this.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I do too.
Yeah. Well, if I look at the photos, I started it. The first photo I took of it, no, that wasn't, maybe 2016. September 2nd, 2016, is Island Timber Strand sitting in my garage. and then September 3rd, they were all milled up into little blocks that I then glued up.
I remember they got to the finishing stage when you're trying to put some epoxy on them or something. And
yeah,
then, so, then everything went sideways.
Well, Timberstrand it has voids in it.
Yeah.
So I wanted the top one specifically to be glass smooth. So when I dyed it and I finished it, there were all these little pockets and voids, and I wasn't happy with it. So I sanded it back down.
Epoxy.
And that's exactly what it is. I took purple epoxy, but it was literally application of epoxy and sands down. Application of epoxy and sands down. What I ultimately ended up doing was I was just slathering the top with epoxy, which was not successful. I ended up filling each individual void with epoxy, and then I used a card scraper to scrape it down to the Timberstrand surface. And that ultimately worked. So it's a light transient purple dye. So it's a light translucent purple with the grain of the Timberstrand coming through. And while Timberstrand's an incredibly pedestrian material, I really like the aesthetic of it. When you dye it, it kind of shows through. I think it's pretty. I built a chair. I built a Tom Fidgen chair using that same technique. That chair is dyed blue. Nice. But
just like your hair.
Exactly. well, not anymore, but yes. These pieces, again, there's four of them. They're 12 foot long. They're 16 inches wide. They're about an inch and a quarter thick. They're massive. And the minute I glued them up, I lost my shop, because they would go from my table saw to my workbench and take up all the space in between. Basically my woodworking died when I took on this project. You know, you talk about a white whale, like this was my Moby Dick. You know, life gets in the way and all that other stuff. So I didn't have the hours to pull it all out and work on it, put it all back and move it all. But it was so much work to work on it. Like, I couldn't just duck in the garage and work on it for an hour. Mm-hmm. It was move a bunch of crap, pull it all out in the driveway, bring one back into the garage, work on that one. And the damn things weighed so much. Like, it was work to move it back and forth. So the original plan was these four purple shelves. And then there was vertical pieces between them. To hold them up. I think there were four verticals across the width of it. And the verticals were Baltic birch plywood. And the verticals were to be painted black, flat black on the sides and dyed red on the edge. And the edge is what would face forward. So I thought the purple plus the black and a little bit of red, I thought it was a really interesting aesthetic. But basically what happened was they needed to get out of the shop. So they were to go down as an entertainment center in my basement, where the kids have their Xbox and PlayStation, and I don't know, there's a million little things hanging off of
all
it.
Devices.
What's that?
All the devices.
All the devices, exactly. All the devices. So previously we had, from one of the box stores, just these shelves, and it's the kind where you put a track along the top, and there's a metal piece that hangs down, and then the shelf brackets lock into that metal piece, and you can adjust them up or down. It's a hanging system. So that's what was there, with just some melamine shelves previous to this. So basically I took all the melamine shelves, I got rid of them, I readjusted those hangers, and I set these big purple shelves on those hangers. So that's where it has been for a couple of years now. Kyle, I'm assuming you have the technical prowess to share this picture somehow in the notes.
We'll find out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Should anyone see the picture, there's only three shelves. The fourth shelf, I ended up
If I can't share them on the show notes, well, with the 500th episode, you know, I got to create a little graphic so I could use this part of the graphic.
I was trying to find the graphic for you. This is not the graphic. I will find the graphic for you.
Okay.
I bet the Patreon picture subscribers in my head. Would really love to see this. Yeah, the Patreon.
You should share this picture. 100%
yeah,
should.
We will. We'll find a way.
So the Patreon subscribers, do we need to have like thong photos of each of us to send?
Oh God, no. No.
This isn't like OnlyFans, you're saying.
Maybe a digital copy of the calendar would be a good.
Oh, there you go. That's a perk.
Oh, I found the picture of Matt with the saw kickback. But anyway,
Yeah. So, we're not on OnlyFans. We're on Only Woodworkers. Man.
There you go.
Only Mans.
Only Mans.
So anyway, so it is installed. And unfortunately what's happened since then is I had a bunch of work done in the house. So right now the shop has, I got a piece of 3/4 inch plywood, a piece of 3/4 inch OSB, a couple pieces of plywood, some zip sheathing, all taking up and blocking me from working in the shop and a bunch of insulation. But theoretically, once I move all this stuff, I can get back to work on my headphone stand, because that's where I stopped, is I still have to finish that headphone stand.
Awesome.
The headphone stand that busted.
Yeah.
As soon as you finished making it.
Yes, yes. That's one of the greatest moments on the podcast is when we shared the video with Jeff Miller on that. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely hilarious. Oh, man.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. Yeah, sure.
No!
Well, so Chris, what about you? Are you in the shop at all these days?
Finally again, you know, after building the new house and moving and, you know, got a shop back downstairs again. And, this time I actually built myself a nice dedicated shop in kind of our downstairs basement with a garage coming into it. And, so yeah, I've sort of got back in. I would say most of my stuff right now is additions to the house. In our downstairs, I put the bar cabinets in, but I sort of wanted just to kind of build my own shelves in it. And we've got a kind of a wine cellar that I'm going to start building some shelves on next. But right now I've got the bar shelving done. And it was kind of a fun little project. It was, I wanted it sort of rustic, so it's no big major woodworking project, but, you know, sort of use some of the gas piping and then, mm-hmm. But what's cool is I took my great grandmother's house up in North Carolina. We had tore it down, I don't know, probably 15, 16 years ago, probably. And all of the studs inside were wormy chestnut. And ooh. So I basically built the shelves out of this wormy chestnut. And the coolest one is one of the boards that when I was planing the boards down, there was, I caught like a glint of something. I'm like, oh crap, a nail. And when I went and looked, it was a slug.
Oh,
and
no way. It's a
bullet slug. Glad well, bullet. This house was built in like 1880 something. And it was inside the wall in like a 2x6. Hmm. And so it had to have been probably Civil War times.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Civil
you know,
War
that it was in there. And so when I built the shelves, I actually turn the one shelf to where the slug's like facing down, so you actually get a really good look of it. And it's kind of cool, you know, just sort of a fun little, you know, again, no complicated woodworking project, but sort of fun to play around with. And you know, my wife's happy that we've got bar shelves again, so.
Well, cool. Well, I'll be looking for your Instagram post when you get all that Felder machinery coming into your shop.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You got that private account though.
That's right.
Secret woodworking account.
Secret woodworking account. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, let's move on to our fortnightly beer choices. So I'll start us off. I'm drinking St. Arnold's Banger IPA, which is a nice little hazy IPA that I picked up, you know, just you know, to help Mark out. So Mark, yeah. What are you drinking?
Keep it foggy, man. Keep it yeah. Keep it hazy. So I'm in the middle of a class week, and my student drove up here from Austin. He borrowed a really sweet like RV. I don't want to say Winnebago, but it's like a conversion van RV. You know, awesome rig. But he also brought a bottle of bourbon, and so I had a little sip of Balcones, Texas pot still bourbon. To start things off tonight with him right before we went to recording. And then, you know, hazy IPA had a foggy geezer, which is my favorite Wisconsin. Well, I pick it up when I'm in Wisconsin because I can't get it here.
It's a Wisconsin IPA that's the home beer in Missouri.
Yeah. It's I bought 2 6 packs and I just drank I have one left in the fridge from Christmas.
You know what that means? Road trip.
Nah, that's all right. I'll go get some more. What was that dinosaur IPA stuff that we bought in Iowa? I'll go get some of that.
There you go. That was what you was done. That by the way, that was bought in a Meijer or Walmart.
Yeah, well, you guys know it wasn't Walmart. It was Meijer. Yeah.
No, it was Walmart.
No, it was Walmart. It was Walmart.
Oh, okay, it's either a Hy-Vee or Walmart or. Meijer is a little further east usually, isn't it?
Maybe. We have both here.
Yeah, I would too.
But yeah, it was anyway. So because of this momentous 500th, I pulled something off the shelf. And so I picked up, or I picked up, I grabbed and chilled a Founders CBS, which is a Canadian breakfast stout. So that is their stout aged in Canadian maple barrels. So it's sweet.
It's going to be like a bacon barrel.
It's a maple. So it's sweet and rich and all this other stuff. And it's the 2019 vintage. So I've been aging this for 5 years. This is some special stuff. And it's very good. You can't get it anymore. But if you ever get some Founders CBS, I highly recommend. Nice. Chris, how about you?
So I have three teenage girls at home.
Mm-hmm.
13, 15, and 16. So beer's not strong enough. So I'm drinking Wellet tonight.
Nice.
Ooh, nice.
You let the genie out of the bottle, huh?
I let the genie out of the bottle. So
mm-hmm.
You know what's good funny? I've had this bottle in my office for a while. And so I had a drink in the house and I came up to the office. And I'm like, I'm going to run out. And I'm like, I'm going to do well tonight.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How old are your girls now?
So 13, 15, and 16.
Okay. Okay.
So Izzy just got her driver's license a while back. And
mm-hmm. Welcome.
Yeah,
welcome.
They think they want a date now. And
They think they do, huh?
I'm so happy that I only have boys. Diami, you're in the same boat. We don't have to worry about the female side of things. I know, but I won't go into that. But my my boys are 17 and 20 now, and so I've gone through that. But yeah, you remember when you met me and my kids were young?
I was gonna say I thought you were 20, Sean.
No.
20.
You know? You might want to tell the story from Handworks.
What story?
You and me.
Oh yeah. So
are you his dad?
Yes. A guy came up and was like, "Oh, it's Kyle and Sean." I was like, "Oh."
Is this your son?
Your father and son, right?
That's without the video.
I mean, and we don't look anything alike. No offense, Kyle. I'm not saying I'm pretty. We're just not the same.
No, you're pretty.
You're pretty.
You're a specimen of a short, well proportioned man.
Great. Notice he said very short first.
Men. Hey, I'm not tall, but I only have one advantage over you, and that's height.
There you go. And I have hair, so there you go. But yes. My kids, as young as I am, I'm in my 40s, but whatever, my kids are old enough. I've lamented this a couple times. A guy met me one time and said, "Oh, you didn't have fun in your 20s, did you?" I was like, "No, I didn't, you know, but you know, my house would be paid 50s, off when I'm 50.
We're hoping for."
yep. I can have all the fun in my 50s and 60s. We'll see.
Well, and you're taking good care of yourself, so you actually have a body to have fun with when you get
there. There is that.
I just hit my 50s last month.
Congratulations.
You've always been older than us.
Are you having all the fun?
I'm having all the fun.
That's good.
But you know who's still older?
Me.
Kyle.
Well, yeah. We're thinking Tom.
Tom, too.
Tom's older than I am.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I just turned 58, and I think that's it.
You don't look a day past there. Like 52. I would have thought you had Sean when you were like 16.
So, Diami, what are you sipping on?
Well, I was inspired by you in that I'm drinking something that you can't get.
Bitches Brew.
I think I have one more bottle, at least one more. I might have two more. I have some in the liquor cabinet, but this was the only one I had in the fridge.
I've had it. I never cellared any. I should have.
It is Dogfish Head Bitches Brew, and it is. I can only think of one beer I've ever had that was better than this. It is an absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal beer, and so it is dark as anything.
Can you not get it because the Miles Davis trust sued Dogfish Head?
This was done legally. I mean, the artwork is the album cover.
They licensed it, yeah.
It was just a limited run, and they made it for a couple of years, and they have not made it since. It's two or 3 years since they made it.
Yep.
And it is a stout, but it's a kind of sweet and spicy, and it is unbelievably delightful. What I will tell you, if anyone gets a bottle, you put it in the fridge, you chill it, but you want to let it warm up to about 50, 52 before you drink it. Don't drink it right out of the fridge. You have to warm up that little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Get your hand thermometer out to know when it's ready.
I just hold it in my hand. I got warm hands.
There you go.
Well, with that, where can folks find us on the interwebs? Chris, what about yourself?
All right. So, but before I say that, I just got to say one thing. I'm going to be nostalgic now for just a second, but, I'm super proud of what we started all those years ago and proud to have been part of this whole journey. And I'm proud of you guys for continuing this on when
absolutely
life got busy for the rest of us. And, it means a lot to me. And when I think back and go, I was thinking about it a lot this week and just, it's hard to believe that this thing's hit 500 episodes. It was never intended to do
500 weeks
anything. And, yeah. I just want to say thanks for you guys for continuing this on and carrying on what we started originally and, really true to what we actually started as. So, thank you.
Oh, and thanks
The guy who actually started it, I want to thank Chris. Chris is the guy who actually started it. Not me. Chris is the guy who actually started it.
Yeah.
But I second everything you just said, and I'll just throw this out there, is that you had the foresight to start this 2 weeks before Fine Woodworking started their podcast.
Yeah.
It's true.
Hang it's that.
Well, and they're what, at like 300 something episodes?
Yeah. Well, they only 500? Do it once every 2 weeks.
They gave it up.
Yeah.
Well, right. They stopped, right? They quit after a while.
And they're pod fading is what they're doing.
No, oh, there it is. It's pod fading.
Ben is doing a good job. You just want to give Ben a hug, don't you? Like,
Ben is doing a great job.
No.
He's carrying it all on his shoulders.
Well, we got to give him a hard time, though. Yes.
He needs to record every week like we do. You do.
What's a podcast without a beef with another podcast?
That's right.
It was always fake.
Well, no. Chris, I want to say, Chris, I really appreciate, what you said there. And, I hope that we are, continuing what y'all wanted to start. And been a blast. It's been a blast. In fact, I was, before we recorded this, I went back and go, when did I join the podcast? It's only been like 3 or 4 years. And it's like, nope, 2018.
It's been a minute. For sure.
It's like, wow. So
with that, on that note, you can find me, Chris Adkins, High Rock, WW on Instagram, on Twitter, all those stuff. I'm still around. I don't post a whole lot, but you'll occasionally see me. So come say hello.
Absolutely.
Diami, what about yourself?
For Kyle's sake, I'm Penultimate Woodshop on Instagram. There I mostly throw hiking into my stories.
Mm-hmm.
Really where I am most active, because Twitter's dead, is I am I'm on Mastodon at Diami at twit.social.
What the hell's Mastodon?
It's a federated version. It's a rough equivalent of Twitter that's federated rather than centrally set up.
It's
so it makes really it much harder to onboard and bring people in. But the ultimate experience is similar to Twitter with more curation.
Nice.
There you go.
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So Mark, what about yourself?
You can find me at Mark Builds It on Instagram, or you can find me at The Joint Effort on YouTube or jointeffort.net. How about you, Kyle?
You can always find me on Instagram at Barton.Kyle or BB Custom Tools, bbcustomtools.com, or on YouTube under Kyle Barton and BB Custom Tools. Sean, what about yourself?
For usual, all this time, you can find me at SeanW78 on most social medias.
And that just about wraps it up for this show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. And while you're there, please leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at MWA_podcast. And if you'd like to support the podcast, go over to patreon.com/MWA podcast. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way in sharing our discussion.